Does theistic evolution reconcile faith and science? Kirby Anderson examines this view and finds it lacking. Now on Probe.
This week we'll be looking at the research done by Probe staff member Steve Cable on the subject of theistic evolution and the writings of Dr. Francis Collins. Dr. Collins is the recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom for cataloging the complete human DNA sequence. He put forth his views on science and Christianity in his 2006 book, The Language of God. Could his theistic evolution view resolve the apparent conflict between modern science and the Bible? This week we will examine this belief and his arguments for it. Collins grew up an agnostic, but became an atheist in his student years. At 26, he took on the task of proving Christianity false. Like many before him, this hopeless task resulted in accepting Christianity as true, Jesus as God in the flesh, bringing us eternal life. Now, in his role as a medical researcher into the genetics of man, he found himself dealing in a world where many questioned the validity of Christian thought as anti-science. These conflicting forces led him to develop views reconciling the current positions of science and the truths of the Bible. As Collins states, if the existence of God is true, not just tradition, but actually true, and if certain scientific conclusions about the natural world are also objectively true, then they cannot contradict each other. A fully harmonious synthesis must be possible. And certainly this statement is one that we should all agree on if we can agree on which scientific conclusions are objectively true. His resulting beliefs rest on the following premises: that God formed the universe out of nothingness 14 billion years ago. Its properties appear to have been precisely tuned for life. The precise mechanism of the origin of life remains unknown. Once evolution got underway, no special supernatural intervention was required. Humans are part of this process, sharing a common ancestor with the great apes, and that humans are unique in ways that defy evolutionary explanation, pointing to our spiritual nature. Rather than interceding as an active creative force, God built into the Big Bang the properties suitable for receiving the image of God at the appropriate time. Purely random mutations and natural selection brought about this desired result. Being outside of time, God would know that this uninvolved approach would result in being suitable to receive the breath of life. Tomorrow we'll look at why Collins chose this view rather than other views of creation.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. To get your free copy of Steve Cable's transcript, Theistic Evolution, go to probe.org. Then join us next time as we help you discover the truth that will set you free here on Probe.
This week we're using the research done by Probe staff member Steve Cable on the writings of Dr. Francis Collins. Is Francis Collins' view of theistic evolution the way to reconcile theology and science? Collins argues that the Big Bang and the fine-tuning of this universe are clearly the work of God. After that, no intelligent intervention occurred, even though scientists have no idea how life began. At this point, God intervened, first by giving humans moral and abstract thinking, and second by bringing Jesus Christ to perform miracles, to be crucified and resurrected and bring us eternal life. In the view by Collins, God is allowed to perform miracles to redeem mankind, but not in creating physical humans. The alternative theories make the scientific process messy and unpredictable. This position allows him to side with naturalist scientists who hold sway today. However, it does not prevent naturalists from laughing at your silly faith. He also appears to believe that we are looking forward to new glorified bodies living in a new earth with Jesus. Apparently, at that time, God will disavow his penchant for not making changes in nature. Collins wrote that our DNA leads him to believe in common ancestry with chimpanzees and ultimately with all of life. His conclusion is partially based upon the large amount of junk DNA similar across humans and other animals. If similar sequences of DNA have no function, these must be elements indicating a common ancestry. Now, subsequent research undermines this belief. DNA previously dismissed as junk are crucial to the way our genome works. For years, more than 98% of the genetic sequence was written off as junk DNA. But based upon current research, almost every nucleotide is associated with a function. Over 80% of the genome has been shown to have a biochemical function, and the rest of the genome is likely to have a function as well. Collins agrees that his earlier position was incorrect. On theistic evolution, Collins could be right, and it would not diminish or tarnish the absolute truth of the Bible. However, in all likelihood, Collins is wrong. From both scripture and current observations, it appears much more likely that God actively intervened in creation. In the remaining days, we'll examine Collins' argument that other positions are foolish and clearly inconsistent with science. One area of intelligent design Francis Collins attacks is the concept of irreducible complexity. ID researchers define it as a system of several well-matched interacting parts that contribute to the basic function, wherein the removal of any one of them causes the system to cease functioning. It cannot be produced directly by slight, successive modifications of a precursor system, because any precursor that is missing a part is by definition non-functional. A mindless evolutionary process cannot create the number of new unique parts that must function together before creating any value. However, Collins believes nothing is too hard for evolution given enough time. He states that examples of irreducible complexity are clearly showing signs of how that could have been assembled by evolution in a gradual step-by-step process. Darwinism predicts that plausible intermediate steps must have existed. ID sets forth a straw man scenario that no serious student of biology would accept. Now, one of Collins' examples is the bacterial flagellum, which is a marvelous swimming device, which includes a propeller surface and a motor to rotate it. ID researchers identify it as an irreducibly complex organ. Collins suggests this conclusion has been fundamentally undercut, stating that one protein sequence used in the flagellum is also used in a different apparatus in another bacteria. Granted, it is just one piece of the flagellum's puzzle, but we are far from filling in the whole picture if we can. But each such new puzzle piece provides a natural explanation for a step that ID has relegated to supernatural forces. Today, years later, ID researchers are not backing off. A recent article concludes that the claim to have refuted the bacterial flagellum is unfounded. Although there are subcomponents that are dispensable, there are numerous subsystems within the flagellum that require multiple coordinated mutations. It is not the kind of structure that one can envision being produced in Darwinian stepwise fashion. Evolutionists have been trying for over 15 years to attack irreducible complexity. Rather than discrediting the theory, their efforts have shown how difficult it is to do so. Collins' claims put him in the company of those relying on the ignorance of their audience to cow them with logically flawed arguments. Francis Collins states that ID is a god of the gaps theory, inserting the need for supernatural intervention in places its proponents claim science cannot explain. This statement mischaracterizes intelligent design. It is not based upon an argument from ignorance. It looks for conditions indicating intelligence was required to produce an observed result. The event must be exceedingly improbable due to random events, and it must conform to a meaningful pattern. Does a forensic science commit an arson of the gaps fallacy in inferring that a fire was started deliberately? To assume that every phenomenon that we cannot explain must have a materialistic explanation is to commit a converse materialism of the gaps fallacy. ID researchers identify signs that are consistent with intelligent design and examine real-world events for those same signs. In addition, many non-intelligent design scientists have reached the conclusion that Darwinism is not sufficient for looking at other mechanisms to explain certain features of life. Another aspect of Collins' defense of theistic evolution is using overstated and oftentimes unsubstantiated attacks to discredit other views. Collins also states that no serious biologist today doubts the theory of evolution, and ID's central premise sets forth a straw man that no serious student of biology would accept. So we would conclude that those differing with Collins are not even serious students of biology. But he ignores the over 800 PhDs who have signed a document questioning the ability of Darwinian theory to explain life. In discrediting intelligent design, he misrepresents the premise of this field, saying that ID is designed to resist an atheistic worldview. As one researcher, William Dembski, explains, intelligent design attempts only to explain the arrangement of materials within an already given world. Design theorists argue that certain arrangements of matter, especially in biological systems, clearly signal a designing influence. Collins would rather pursue an answer that was wrong and exclude the actions of an intelligent designer than considering the possibility of intelligent design. Tomorrow we'll look at whether C.S. Lewis was a theistic evolutionist. Did C.S. Lewis support theistic evolution? Francis Collins quotes Lewis postulating that God could have added his image to evolved creatures who then chose to fall into sin. Although consistent with theistic evolution, Lewis' thoughts are more consistent, we believe, with intelligent design. Lewis begins by saying, for long centuries, God perfected the animal form, which was to become the vehicle of humanity and the image of himself. He gave it hands whose thumb could be applied to each of the fingers. So God was actively involved in bringing about the human form. God intervened to produce the desired outcome. BioLogos extends the thought, saying that Lewis is clearly a Christian theistic evolutionist or an evolutionary Christian theist. They point out passages from Lewis showing the evolutionary theory of physical change was not contradictory to the gospel, and they suggest then that Lewis could accept today's theories as truth and would reject intelligent design. John West's research finds that Lewis was not saying that evolutionary theory was definitely true, but rather did not refute Christian belief. C.S. Lewis wrote that belief that man in general have immortal and rational souls does not oblige or qualify me to hold a theory of their pre-human organic history if they have one. In Miracles, he wrote, the preliminary processes within nature which led up to the human mind, if there were any, were designed to do so. In both these quotes, his caveat actually is added with the word if. Lewis did not embrace a simple-minded view of natural science as fundamentally more authoritative or less prone to error than other fields of human endeavor. Lewis argues that scientific theories are supposals and should not be confused with facts. We must always recognize that such explanations can be wrong. Clearly, Lewis did not feel that a young Earth view was a necessity, but he was adamantly against the thought that science trumped theology. Although one cannot know with certainty, it appears that Lewis would resonate with the methodology and claims of intelligent design theorists. We can appreciate Collins' faith journey. However, we would wish that he would say, we really don't know the details of man's creation, but we do know that God was intimately involved.